Y'all may be seated. Hey, everyone. No, I'm not in Seattle with Joseph, and nor am I in St. Julian's Chapel here at Christ Church. Right now, I'm probably jumping on a plane in Milwaukee, heading back to Denver. I've been in Wisconsin for the weekend because my son, Zach, got engaged to a wonderful woman named Kylie, and we had a big party, and it was fantastic. And so I'm coming to you on a pre-recorded video. We have learned at Christ Church over the years how to be in two places at one time. So, ta-da, technology. This morning we continue our preaching series on prayer. In the first half of the series, we looked at talking with God and talking to God. And so we kick off the second half of the preaching series with listening to God. Professor Jerry Bersham of Western Seminary said, "Learning to hear God's voice is the single most important task of a disciple of Jesus." And I would agree. It's hard though, right? It is hard. So where do we start? I think there are two fundamental questions when we consider the topic of listening to Jesus. One, does God speak to his people today? And second, are we actually interested in listening? So let's tackle that first question. Does God speak to his people today? The short answer is yes, a definite yes. I mean, we look at the scriptures. They're full of stories of God speaking to his people, sometimes in an audible voice out of a burning bush or out of a cloud, through the prophets, through dreams, through community discernment, through just common sense. And it has happened throughout history, and it happens today. I stand before you as someone who hears God's voice. Now, typically not an audible voice, but rather for me, it's a strong impression, it's a feeling, and then it's followed by a good reason to trust that it's God's voice. I remember when I was in seminary, my grandmother was very ill. And I was heading to my car, I was in my car heading to an appointment, and I was suddenly struck with just this overwhelming sense that I had to pray for my grandmother. It was so acute that I pulled over and started praying. Eventually, the feeling left, and I looked at the clock on my dashboard. It said 1:23. I had 7 minutes to get to my appointment, and I just put my pedal to the metal. And when I got home, back to my apartment, my answer machine was blinking. And yes, this was before cell phones and we had landlines and answering machines. Anyways, it was my father, and he said that my grandmother had passed at 1:23 p.m. I do believe that God speaks to us, but the question is, are we listening? Maybe, but perhaps we're listening in the wrong way. We're looking for something really dramatic, sort of like, you know, God breaking into our reality and saying something that says, "We interrupt this broadcast for an important message from the creator of the universe. Susan, I love you, and I want you to do this and that." Yes, God is trying to communicate with us, but perhaps not in the ways we expect him to. You see, he's more subtle, more quiet, humble. And he customizes his communication for each one of us in ways that we can learn, recognize, and understand his voice. The problem is, we're not listening. We're not making the space and the time in our lives to hear his voice, to learn his ways that he speaks to us. And I think the reason we don't make room for God in our lives is because we really don't want to hear what he has to say. Because we don't want to have to follow his directions. The reasoning is, if I don't listen, then I don't have to obey, right? It's one of those, like, you know what, Jesus, I never got the memo. I just didn't get the memo. You see, listening and obeying are two sides of the same coin. If we choose to listen to Jesus and his instructions for us, then that leaves us with two choices. One is either to obey, or the other is to rebel. And so, to avoid the choice, I think we just ignore God. We ignore him even when we're praying by filling the space with sort of endless chatter oh, yes, by the way, God, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. And can you believe that Susan snubbed me at lunch? And you know what? I'm not asking you to do this, God, but if the big fat zit appeared on her face, I would not be unhappy about that. Oh, yes. And then about the Ukraine thing, blah, 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 blah. I think we ignore God by not praying at all or by filling our prayers with a one-sided, endless chatter because we don't want to obey him. Which begs the bigger question, why don't we want to obey him? Because we're selfish and self-centered and we want what we want when we want it and we don't want God telling us what to do or how to live our lives? Certainly. But I do think it goes deeper than that. I think there is a part of us, if we're willing to admit it, that doesn't trust God. And yes, I know that's a provocative statement, but I stand by it. Hear me out. Here's the deal. We only listen to and obey folks we trust, right? I had a mechanic that worked on my 2006 Chevy Impala. I loved that car. And over time, I found him to be trustworthy, honest, that he had my best interest in mind. He was not trying to rip me off. So when he said, this needs to be done, and it's going to cost this much, I said, absolutely, let's do it. And that guy kept that car running well after its expiration date. Listening and obeying are directly related to trusting the source. If you are not going to listen to nor obey someone, it's because you don't trust them. Well, and certainly if they have a gun held to your head, you're going to do what they say, but that doesn't mean you trust them, right? I think for many of us, consciously and unconsciously, we don't trust God. We may not admit it, but there's a part of us which is a little paranoid about God's intentions. If I make space for God in my life and listen to his voice, and if I'm going to obey his voice, and I'm just afraid he's going to tell me that I have to become a missionary to Syria, or, you know, sell everything and give it to the poor and live in a cardboard box on the grate, or adopt a Bangladeshi kid, or stop watching the Kardashians. And in the end, I don't want to adopt a kid from Bangladesh. And I do want to keep watching the Kardashians. I mean, it's the greatest reality TV show ever. Can I have an amen? An amen. Nothing. Really? Nothing? I think you need to examine that. Because it is the greatest reality. Well, second only to Jersey Shore, the greatest reality TV show ever. But I digress. And maybe there's a little part of us that questions whether God really cares about us, that he's at all interested in us. And so we throw up prayers, hopeful but not expectant, offering him a few opportunities to move the needle. And in the end, we're not sure if it's God who did it or it just sort of worked out, and we end up being sort of faithful fatalists. And when the big stuff comes, the really big stuff, we grab the steering wheel out of Jesus' hand and say, you know what, Jesus, this stretch of the road coming up, pretty tricky. I think I need to take control now. So move over. And so we pull out our toolkit and we start getting busy playing God. And when things don't turn out the way we want them to, who do we blame? Right, God, the guy we shoved into the back seat. For some reason, there's something inside us that wants to keep God at arm's length. Because we're afraid that he doesn't have our best interests in mind. And he's not interested. Or he's powerless. Or he's after us and not in a good way. And therefore, we don't trust him. And subsequently, we're not interested in listening to him or obeying him. Jesus addresses this in Luke 11:11. He says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish for dinner, give him a snake instead, just drop it on the plate? Or if he asks for an egg, gives him a scorpion? He says, even though you all are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is addressing this mistrust of God, which is part of our fallen nature. God proves his trustworthiness to us by becoming incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ to show us very clearly his nature and his disposition. Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. And so when we read the Gospels and hear about how Jesus lived and loved, how he led his disciples and laid down his life as a sacrifice for our sins so that we could live, we are shown the heart of God in and through Jesus. God is not some vengeful God that desires the death of sinners, but rather wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God is interested in us, cares about us. That's why he sent Jesus. God is powerful. We see that in the fact that he raised Jesus from the dead. So when God speaks to us, he is trustworthy. His words are for our benefit. He only wants what's best for us, wants to bring life to us here and now and to others through us. And he wants to bring us to life eternal. I think the place to start with listening to God is for each of us to examine whether we really trust him. Trust that he loves us and really wants what's best for us in this life and in the next. Listen. Belief is easy. Trust is where the rubber hits the road. Let me tell you a little story. There was a high wire walker who strung a wire across a waterfall. And he crossed that chasm several times and to cheering crowds. And he addressed the crowd and he said, "Do you see this wheelbarrow? Do you think that I can push this across to the other side?" And all the folks were going, "Yes, yes, yeah, we know you can do it." And so the high wire walker up the ante said, "Do you think I can bring it across the wire with a load in it?" And everybody was, "Yeah, yeah." And there's one guy up front and he was going nuts. He was saying, "Yeah, I believe you can do it. Yeah." And so the walker turned to the man and he said, "You really believe I can do it?" The guy said, "Absolutely." He said, "Okay, get in the wheelbarrow. Let's go." Needless to say, the man sort of receded into the crowd, was never seen again. Faith, you know, it's easy when there's nothing at risk. Trust is the bottom line. You may believe in Jesus, but do you trust him? And if you don't trust him, then I suspect then you're not really interested in listening for his voice, because deep down inside, you're not interested in doing what he wants to tell you to do. Try this test. Consider the places where there's anxiety that resides in you. It may be about your health. It may be about relationships, your financial future, your children, your career. Where in you is that, you know, that tight little ball of anxiety? When that subject comes up, you can just feel it there. I know where mine is. I'm 59 years old and I'm looking down the road at retirement. In light of the state of our economy with inflation and the volatility in the markets, I watch Joellen and I's modest investments being tossed around like a rowboat in a hurricane. And I think I can just feel the anxiety rising up in me. Can I retire? When? Will there be enough money? The litany of worries just go on and on. And as a person of faith, I have to beat back that fear and actively choose to trust God for our future. Yes, certainly. I will do everything that is prudent and thoughtful in saving and investing. And yes, I'm done with crypto. Done with it. Who thought that would be a bad idea? A currency based on nothing. But anyways, I digress. I need to trust that God is going to take care of us. He's going to take care of Joellen and I like he has all these years. I have to repent of my doubt and my unfaithfulness, my hardness of heart. which has developed in me over time. I have to repent of the fact that I'm willing to listen to anyone or anything about how to be financially secure, except the one who actually holds my life in his hands. Problem is, once I commit to Jesus and I say, I trust you with my future, I can't dictate the outcome. I can't say, yes, Lord, I trust you to take care of us, but we're going to need this certain level, this certain level and standard of living, and we want to be in this place. Anything less than that, it's just not going to work for us. No. Repenting and trusting means letting go and trusting God will guide and direct us according to his will and his desire for our lives. Trusting that he actually knows better for us than we know for ourselves. And knows better for our souls. What's best for our soul. And understanding that he is going to invite us to let go of and lay down those things in our lives which are not of him that draw us away from him. He's going to call us out on our idols. He's going to ask us to choose them or him. And it's going to be hard. And it is hard to turn our backs on those idols because they give us a sense of identity and purpose and worth and security, which is supported and endorsed by the world, but they're false. And they lead us away from God, not to him. I think the first step in genuinely listening to the voice of God is to repent of our hard-heartedness and our self-centeredness. Repent of our rebellion and renew our trust in our Father's goodness. So let's start. Let's start there. For those of you who will, please pray with me. Lord Jesus, I confess to you today that I have not fully put my trust in you. I have trusted in myself, in what I have, what I can produce. I've trusted in others and institutions. I confess my unfaithfulness. Please forgive me. Give me the courage to put my whole trust in your grace and love. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And fill us with the desire to listen to your voice. Fill us with the desire to seek your counsel and direction in all things. Create in us the fortitude to act according to your will. And we believe that you do love us and that you have more for us than we can ask or imagine. I trust you, Jesus. And once again, I surrender my life to you. Amen. Well, now that we've cleared away some of the debris, and we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to do that continually, consistently, and regularly in our prayer life. Now, it's time to learn to listen to God, to distinguish his voice from other voices, to learn from God what he wants us to do. Are y'all ready? Yep. What? Dee Dee. Oh, really? Dee Dee? She's going like this. She's saying, I've taken too much time. Oh, come on, Dee. The best part's coming, Dee Dee. Oh, rats. Double rats. Triple rats. Well, here you go. Next week, we're going to talk about the how of listening to God. You don't want to miss it, and I'll be with you in person. Amen.